up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Point at me and say go.
We here.
All right. Now, you know, we usually like to begin with confusion. This is how our listeners love to begin their Saturday mornings. Welcome to the Accredited Powered by 10th Year Seniors here on Guardian Radio 96.9. I'm Ronaldo, and I believe that 58 is 58.
I am Andrew, and I was not familiar with John's game.
If you know, you know.
Yeah. I'm Ricardo. I'm still trying to process going down from 10 to 7. This is a wild ride there.
Hopefully he's the only thing he sold. I mean, we don't know for certain.
This is chilly.
Every Saturday morning, it's a reminder that Cardo has blessed us with this opportunity that allows us to talk sports here with our good people on Saturday mornings and completely undercut anything we do at Happy Hour.
He's the biggest boss that we've seen thus far.
I appreciate that.
He is.
But it's a lot more than that. I think it'd be problematic. But if you want to join the conversation
today, that is production by John. I like to give people insight into our production meetings on the air. Cardo was going off on his tangent, and John pointed to the wall where Cardo was about to do his job.
If you want to join the conversation today, join us on the telephone lines at 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, or toll-free at 300-5720. Or you could join us on the text line at 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. Join the conversation.
And the conversation we are starting with today, what's the lead? The reason why we were up late, and most of the world were up late, later than they should have been on Friday, was to watch, I don't even know if we could really call this a boxing match.
Yeah.
It was more of a showcase, more of an exhibition between, it's supposed to bridge generational gaps. There were people that...
It did not.
I think it did, though. That's why you had so much people tuning in. So... the Jake Paul-Mike Tyson fight that took the world by storm last night, you had the younger generation who, and I'm sure we have listeners that have no idea who Jake Paul is, but you have the younger generation that followed him as a YouTuber and rose up the ranks of whatever he is now, an entertainer, against a legend.
He's a promoter.
He's everything.
He promoted that entire show. He was the one who... He's not Don King, but he is this generation's promoter.
Let's wait for a documentary in 10 years. He might I know. But yeah, him going up against a 58-year-old Mike Tyson, and the reason that this, our entire generation, we were there for the nostalgia. And I would listen to podcasts, watch shows, and you would have older people just telling youngsters, you know what? Y'all don't know. If he just gets that one shot. Mm-hmm. And so everyone was there thinking that one shot would happen. That one shot didn't even come close.
And it was weird watching the fight, because I come from a generation of... because I don't think a lot of people understand, especially the younger generation, they don't understand the process it took for pay-per-view with a satellite the size of a cube inside your yard. And like, you had to move the satellite to F-116. And then, like, you had to go to pay-per-view and get an American Express card, and they just trusted you, and they swipe it, and, like, you had to pay for that.
Hey, but when you get to F-118, though.
Oh, yeah. A little bit of static, but it works.
F-118.
7 o'clock. But no, and then after that, like, I remember my uncle had a whole Tyson party. He went to go use the bathroom, came back, fight was over.
Yeah.
So that's the Tyson we knew. That the Tyson of, like, I'll eat your kids. Like, that's the Tyson we knew. To see this old man, and that's no disrespect to him. He's old. He's old.
58 is 58, bro.
He was so, let me pause this in advance, pause. He was so stiff.
Yeah.
Like, he'd be like, from beginning to end, I don't know, like, them promo videos they had of him, like, moving and shaking like a cheetah. I was like, that must have taken everything out of him.
It did. Like,
it did. Because, son, he did not look like that last night.
No, I know this entire thing was going to go left for him. He started this week's thing with the underwear thing. I was like, all right, this is definitely not the fight to watch.
Yeah, slapping a man with your jockey on is crazy.
How much money are you making from this?
$20 million.
That's the thing. That's the thing. So reports, I saw it in USA Today, so assume it's reputable, that Jake Paul was supposed to be making 40 from this guaranteed, and Tyson walked away with somewhere in the range of 20 mil. Good payday. Of course, it's an incredible payday. So, but I think...
And I was in Texas, so...
That's what I wanted to get to. You call Jake Paul a promoter. They filled Jerry's World.
Yeah.
72,000 people were in there.
And to all credit to the undercard, it all came together really, really well. So
streamed on Netflix, which most people already... And that's the thing. Like Andrew was mentioning back in the day where you had to go through pay-per-view. So you think in between $50 and $80 at a time. No, no, no. Jake Paul circumvented all of that. Most people have Netflix already. We just give them the game. So imagine what that bag was like that he got from Netflix for this.
Yeah.
Well, Netflix needs to get him a bigger bag because that... Was your TV stalling?
Oh, yeah. Well,
it kept freezing up.
Well, like, that's how much people then probably were watching because all that is the amount of server space you have.
Yeah.
So now they know, but you got to think of this. The NFL stuff's going
to
be coming
this
out.
This is what I'm about to say. If they could get in the live sports game, John, they got to clean that up. I don't know if this is a test, right?
They have to fix that.
Yeah, as the only wrestling fan in the space, they actually agree. So that is the next step as they eventually move to...
Excuse me, sir. You are not the only wrestling fan in this space because after I watched the Mr. McMahon documentary, I did a deep dive for 3 weeks into all things wrestling history. I could go bar for bar with you right now. All right,
let me... On top of that, too, I am a huge Ricky the Dragon Steamboat fan.
Yeah, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat was amazing.
What are we talking about?
It's ridiculous.
When I was a kid, I went to watch the Haitian sensation Tyree Pryde fight right here.
He was just here like a couple of months back.
He's still alive?
Wait, hold on. What? He truly is a sensation.
Oh, God.
You know they're not fighting like real stuff. They're like hurting themselves.
John. Let's not do that. Let's not do that.
This dude flip a switch. He forgot who he was on air. He really
Chris Benoit started going in front of you. He's like, no.
Whoa, we don't mention that name in this, sir. So my thing with last night was, even though you knew, yes, this was a young YouTuber barely into boxing, has had 11 fights, most of those against washed-up MMA fighters, against a 58-year-old former legend, it still became a monoculture moment. Everyone on social media was talking about it. Everyone was tuned into it for to be a part of that. And that got me thinking as I was watching, does any Bahamian sport or any Bahamian sport storyline have the capability for us to have a monoculture moment like that?
No.
I disagree.
Emphatically, no.
Nal asked this downstairs.
They're not supposed to know that. That's a part of the production meeting. They ain't supposed to know we workshop it. They're supposed to think we just come here and the agenda just happens organically. Right. Which it kind of does because I do these notes this morning in the gym.
So last night, So downstairs in front of Big Man. Pause.
Shout out to him.
Yeah, shout out to old boy. Nal asked the same question. And I said, if the Dolphins had a Bahamian, and I'll take a step further. They had a Bahamian quarterback, and they're playing the Super Bowl. What TV ain't playing? Like, what TV in the Bahamas ain't got that game on?
But I feel like everyone could watch the Super Bowl anyways.
No, they will. But a Bahamian quarterback playing for the Dolphins?
You know, but see...
And he's good?
Hold on. Before we move on, Carter, I don't want to step on your point.
I mean, the Dolphins made the Super Bowl, and that means they're good.
That's what I was about to say. That's the problem. Like, I hate the fact that I'm in this relationship with them, because he said that hypothetical scenario, and like I started to tingle a little bit. Like, what?
It don't gotta be a Bahamian in the Super Bowl. It's gotta be a Dolphins.
No, I was just about to say, to Nal's point, it's so much hypothetical in that scenario for that to be that moment. So,
Hold on, stop. I don't mean to combine two things, right?
You are here to crush dreams.
Hold on. You suspended reality and got very upset with John about wrestling.
Yes.
But it's too much of hypothetical for the Dolphins.
Look, the only time
you believe in the suplex, but you don't believe there's a bit.
The suplex is real.
I see that executed every week. Every week, I have yet to see the Dolphins sniff a Super Bowl. So I'm just saying, one thing.
Call us around from 1972 and 73. Please call in and correct.
He sounds like an atheist. He's like, I've seen science. I'll see your God.
But I think because in the car. When we were talking about
production meeting
in the car, it was because you brought up the point, basketball this summer might have been the closest thing with national team that we would have gotten. Because if we would have made the Olympics, that would have changed the entire dynamic of the monoculture. Everyone was tuned into that.
But again, if the game that we played against Argentina, that didn't even conjure it up. Like,
wasn't big enough.
Yeah, but Zion going to the Olympics, though.
See, I think John has a point with this, because that would have been, for it to be a monoculture moment, I think a part of it has to be something that happens for the first time. And we've never had the Bahamas in a team sport in the Olympics.
But I still don't think at that level, and again, all the credit given to Team Bahamas, yeah. I don't think the country is going to
gravitate to that like that.
Where I don't think, this is a moment. I think the last time we had a moment like that, and God rest his soul, was when Sir Lyndon died. I remember as a kid in primary school, everything in the country stopped, and people were on the side of the street to see the parade. I think the other thing was the Golden Girls after they came
back. That's the one.
Everything
stopped. What about when Kobe was at the port?
Ooh. Laker fans stopped. I think Laker fans stopped the day Shaq drove over the bridge on a bike. So that's just a small subculture of Bahamas. I don't think the entire society would stop for anything sports related.
We basically just don't like sports enough. I think everyone was plugged in. Because, okay, the Olympics and any type of national team stuff where you get to have nationalism at the top, I think that brings it out in Bahamians. So, like John was saying, it happens at the Olympics, but we have to be clear front runners at the Olympics ahead of time for everyone to be plugged in. So I think the Golden Girls, the first time...
I see what you're saying.
That, I think that probably did it. I think everyone was prepared for that moment. You don't
I remember.
Well, not the first time. 96, sorry.
Because you had heats. So you're like, okay, they won the first
heat. It's a build-up to it. But
you had
the build-up when they won world championship.
Yeah.
Because they're already at the top of the mountain at that particular moment. And you said, oh, there's an actual chance.
Not 96, 2000.
Yeah, 2000. So, 96 was Atlanta when they won the silver.
Yeah.
Then they got 99 in Seville, Spain.
And because of 96 is why we were so prepared for them to do that in 2000. So I think because they were front runners, because even casual people had to look and say, wait, is three of them in the final? Well, I mean, Marion Jones may win the 100, but this 4x1.
She won already.
Yeah, I remember back then, there were videos of people like in the fast food restaurants. Mm-hmm. Like,
but
everything collectively.
No, but that was the 4x4.
I'm saying there are clips of way back then, like grainy footage of people like just stopping what they were doing to look at that moment on TV. But
didn't that race happen like 2 in the morning our time? 3 in the morning our time?
John, I don't remember.
Yeah, Sydney happened.
You know much of it since
it's just a replay you probably saw. I guarantee most of us were sleeping at that time. So you're waking up to something. Yeah. And I feel like that helped. That's another part of it, because you're waking up now. You're like, we didn't have information like how we have today. We couldn't go on YouTube. So it's like, you got to find something to be able to say, hold on, this happened. No, I got to see it. I got to do this. But when the 4x4, when they won in London, that was another moment. And then that was where you beat USA. I don't care who USA was running, they get beat. But that's another moment, and that's when the time difference was, people were at work. The country stopped at that particular time. And that's why I say basketball would have made it, the country would have stopped.
Do you think we just don't care about sports enough for everyone to be plugged into a singular story?
I'm sitting there thinking of what the most exciting sport is. Because I don't think you can land on basketball.
I think
that's too many games.
No, but I think that's the one where you only have to have an entry level knowledge, and it's easy.
Right.
So, like, even with your example, you have to actually know what's happening.
Yeah, we don't care that much about soccer.
That's the cheat code.
We have an expert in the room. I was going to say tennis, because that's a very individualistic sport.
Well, tennis, we would stop, but we had a big tennis culture here back in the day when we hosted Davis Cup.
Hold on.
Not big enough for everyone.
Not big enough for everyone.
Was that in your bubble, or was that?
No. It was a big tennis culture. We lost that culture that we had before with Davis Cup. But you got to remember, we are playing Nicholas Appentis and the USA's and the Chilis.
He made him up.
We were playing teams that had top 50 players in the world coming down here. So it changed it. Yeah, the tennis culture, if you were in it, you would be like, oh, I got to go watch this because XYZ is playing. But then it was a good product. Mm. So casual people would be able to come and watch it. It's just like, once the product is good, people are going to come watch it.
Because the reason why I said tennis is because if you get a Williams sister story coming out of a small island in the Bahamas and they go on to do great things and they continuously win, I think that's us.
Shawnee?
It'll go back to the Olympic thing.
But see, this is why, and y'all probably hate me for this. Buddy? Is why I think that you need to be somewhat socialist in your approach to the way you present sports in a country this small. Why I say it like that is you have to force feed until a narrative is created.
Oh, yeah.
You have
sure.
to put it in so many faces. I shouldn't say it like that. You have to.
No, that is correct.
You have to literally plaster Buddy, or you have to plaster VJ. You have to plaster these players on every television. You have to make it known to the point that...
But they gotta be good.
No.
Yeah.
No. What I'm trying to say, even if they're not that good, people hear about it so much, they then pay attention.
It's like the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
I didn't want to say it like that, but yeah, it's exactly like the Dallas Cowboys. You see and you hear so much about them. It's like every game that the Dallas Cowboys play on a Sunday is the game of the week. They've been horrible for the last 4 years, but it's still the game of the week.
They had Dak on such a pedestal. I thought he was actually good at one point. Then I was like, oh, he's not. Still.
Now he's hurt. So back to Cotto and his socialism. You have to culturally indoctrinate people for this, and that brings me to...
Why you should follow us.
But what we talked about before in terms of... Well, JJ and the celebrations of winning... Finals MVP, winning the WNBA championship, it has to be more than just, this welcome reception or whatever in the Junkanoo rush out. You have to culturally indoctrinate people to the public. And you mentioned it being plastered. You think about the mural that's going up, right? And you think about there has to be permanent ways to get people, to get these figures ingrained into the culture, to have them in the minds of the people.
But just like you said, right?
Yeah.
Why not? I don't know if they are doing it, but they're probably not. When the parade was happening, you should have done it during school hours where you could bust the kids in, because you could make that a core memory, a core moment of their life to say, oh, I could actually do something like this. If I get to this level,
I would put it on the exams.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah. I agree too. But I'm just saying it's something where, like, as a kid, it's more memorable if you see that happening, because then all of a sudden, it is larger than life.
I feel like on the BGCSE, you should have to answer which year Buddy won the three-point shooter.
Okay, I don't...
And I would say all the way to the BGCSE or the BJC.
That's important. Like, B is in the name.
Which is true.
You should be learning about B stuff.
Which is true. But at the same time, you can do it like the end-of-term exam or whatever you want. You can do it there.
See, you're trying small-time sports. That's your problem. I feel like in your history BGCSE coursework, you should tell me how much DeAndre Ayton averaged as a rookie in Phoenix.
That's all I could know.
If y'all really want to get the people, Holiday.
We know that. We've been saying that for the longest.
Would the Bahamians love more than Holiday?
No, I disagree.
What you doing?
Chuckle Jones Day?
I disagree.
I would celebrate.
They love a holiday, but they get lost in their version of the holiday. So like National Heroes Day, everybody celebrate that. Everybody go to Goodman's Bay. Everybody go to the beach of their choice. But the vast majority of Bahamians don't come together and say, hey, we're commemorating our heroes to this day. And that's just a small subset.
I feel like that's how we do Halloween too, because we never remember the reason for the season.
Fox.
Fun.
Fox.
No, because like, which month doesn't have a holiday? But then see, when you...
It's like a couple of them.
Actually. November.
Yeah. You know, holiday in November.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, Thanksgiving sounds kind of solid.
I mean, I feel...
Could we adopt that?
I feel like we could... I feel like we should get away with a holiday for...
So what is a... November?
Although we was having enough problems with the land disbursement.
No, I feel like we should have a holiday every month.
But see, again, it goes back
to... Thanksgiving.
It goes back to the point that you were originally making. I remember when they first introduced Bahamas Junkanoo Carnival. I was still a reporter at the time, and I remember doing the initial event that they had. And I can't remember his name. The guy that put it all together. They did a water sports presentation out on...
Timmy?
It was definitely not. Okay. They did a water sports presentation out on the Western Esplanade. And the amount of effort that went into that, that's the kind of effort we need to put into these sorts of celebrations. John Grell did the presentation, I think, at Hugh Campbell, the school that she went to as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
She did her best to explain to people, hey, this is why this is a potential case for you. You can look at me. I walked these same halls. I sat at the same desk. I was in these same classrooms. But it didn't translate to anything, because on a national scale, the news report at 7, where's the sit-down interview?
Where's the camps?
John knew where the report is.
No, I don't still.
Where's the camps? And there used to be like a camp, a basketball player, or a basketball player used to put on?
So they did, she had a Rick Fox
camp that he did one time?
No.
Who went to that? Did you go to that?
I was there.
I was there too. That was a good day. First of all, they gave you Subway that day.
Shout out to the Kingsway alumni. Let's be respectful.
Yeah.
Couldn't swim, but
he got a swimming pool there?
It's like if we did a 10YS documentary, me and John were there at the same time and we didn't know it. We probably had a moment like where we might have bumped into each other.
Probably not.
Anyway, so a part of the very busy tour that John Cole was on yesterday, they did have a one-day clinic. You know, it's more of a meet and greet for her to see and to be able to, you know, impact kids directly and say that this kind of thing is possible for you. But we obviously, it has to be something that extends beyond this weekend. That's what we've all been seeing.
For sure. But I would say one thing, and I know this with doing stuff with DeAndre. When he would come here for like these camps and stuff, his favorite moment was being with the kids at the camp, seeing them enjoy basketball, because that's what they want to see. They want to see the kids smiling, having fun, running around, because that was once them. And that's the things that keep them grounded enough to be like, I got to keep doing this. I got to keep making the population happy. And like you said, you just hope that it could be extended more than just one day.
I don't want to make light of this or make this into a joke. So
you do.
No.
It's why you...
Do we have enough young women interested in basketball for Jungle to run a camp?
But maybe we do.
We have the answer is yes.
You know better than me. I don't know.
The answer is yes. The real question is, do we have the right development to have them in a camp with Jonquil?
That is the issue. That is the issue, because it came up and we had a texter that talked about it the first time we talked about Jonquil and we had the show, and they mentioned the citizenship thing when she went to play for Bosnia and Herzegovina. But you have to understand the decision
business behind decision.
That. You have to understand that, well, we didn't have a system in place to actually... Clearly, she is the best, if not the best, one of the best women's basketball players in the world. Mm. But there was not much behind her. Because while she was great individually, that development wasn't there for us to be able to feel the team, to take advantage of her skill set.
So she's been doing a ton of podcasts and interviews and stuff. JJ, we're open to the podcast interviews.
Of course she's listening. Message us on the 10YS.
Yeah, message on the 10YS. But it's like... She said, and people need to know, she would go play overseas to make money.
Yes.
That's why she had to get a European passport to be able to, you know, freely go to all that. But this is the first year that, well, she said, this is the first year that she didn't have to really go overseas to make more money. Because she's making, I'm not saying that she's making a lot, but she's probably making enough to be comfortable to enjoy this championship moment and not have to say, oh, I got to go right back to work.
Them dogs expensive.
Boy.
See you, dog. But this brings, I want to bring us back to this moment. So by consensus, basically what we're hearing is we feel like Bahamians do not care about sports enough in general for the entire country to capture a monoculture moment for all of us to be plugged into.
I'm not saying that they don't care enough. What I'm saying is that the system is not structured to allow them to understand the development of not just basketball, all sports.
Yeah, this could be anything.
What you have, like last week we had the little debate on the National Sports Hall of Fame thing. Where's that the entire week?
Congratulations, Prime Minister.
Oh, God.
What?
I wasn't there. What happened?
No, that was a sports show. The Hall of Fame ain't happened yet.
Yeah,
but still congratulations.
But still congratulations to Hall of Famer.
But that's what I'm saying. Minister, you have all of this going on, but where's the structure to allow the nation to understand and respect what it is that we're trying
is
to
it,
develop.
I'm enjoying the conversation. Is it not too late?
It's never too late. But it is too late for us to continue this train of thought. Professional segue. That's halftime. We'll take a quick break. We will discuss the closure moment, the Bahamian national team.
Four Bahamians face some level of food insecurity. AML Foods remains committed to helping. And this year, through our Feed 5000 program, we'll donate $30,000 to provide holiday meals to families in need. But we need your help. From November 4th to December 18th, show your support and donate at the register at Solomon's, Costrite, Fresh Market, Exuma Markets, or Domino's Pizza in Nassau, Grand Bahama, or Exuma. Together, let's put an end to hunger.
Do
Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, good for you.
Are you a business owner or HR professional? RF's team of pension specialists are here to empower your employees with market-leading retirement solutions and to make implementing group pensions easy and cost-effective. With RF, starting or switching your company pension plan is a breeze, and there are no setup fees. If you're looking for strong investment performance and low fees, visit rfgroup.com/empower and empower your team to retire comfortably with RF Group Pensions today. That's rfgroup.com/empower.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
This November, the Nassau Guardian is celebrating 100, and we want to thank you, our loyal readers, for helping to make this one of the oldest newspapers in the region. We want you to be a part of our Vision Challenge giveaway promotion, beginning October 28th through November 22nd. All you need to do is find the hidden Nassau Guardian 180 years logo, print it every day in the Nassau Guardian newspaper, and you could win prize money. Just purchase your daily Nassau Guardian newspaper every day, beginning Monday, October 28th. Find the 180th Nassau Guardian logo, cut out the page, mark the spot, write your name and phone number on that clipping, drop off your entries at our offices on Carter Street in Oaksfield, and every Friday, November 1st, November 8th, November 15th, and November 22nd, drawing will take place. It's that simple. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Son.
You didn't.
I didn't get it this time.
No, you didn't.
That was close. Welcome back to the accredited powered by 10th year seniors. I'm Ronaldo, and eventually, if I keep trying, I will get the intro properly.
I'm Andrew. Shout out to the young King Sean for tuning in.
I'm John Mark, and Mike Tyson had the best post fight interview ever.
No, that was before. Pre-fight. Mike was telling us he was no part of that.
Best
interview ever.
Ain't no legacy.
You're very good at sports.
Ricardo, and I'm completely lost as to where we're going right now. This is crazy work.
That's all right, because I'm the captain of the ship. I got us.
Go ahead. Point. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Do your job.
Completely lost.
Do your job,
Connor.
You want to join the conversation? You want to delve into our Mike Tyson discussion? What are we doing in the second segment?
Basketball.
If you want to join in on the national team conversation, telephone lines are open 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Toll free at 300-5720 or text line at 422-GR96. That's 422-4796.
What about you? You don't stumble with the numbers, but good job, bro. You don't stumble.
I'm good at numbers. That's why we got him to the job.
It's
almost as if he should work somewhere else. Good at numbers. So in the first segment, we used the Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson fight to launch pad into whether Bahamian sports could have a monoculture moment like that one. We had a couple options. Of course, the Olympics is always the easiest one for us. Baseball. Jazz got to the World Series, but baseball doesn't tap in enough with enough people. So I wouldn't say that.
But there had to have been a fall off at some point in baseball, though. Because I remember coming up, there was always a national discussion around softball and transition into Major League Baseball. And some of the guys from like Eleuthera, Exuma, places like that made it into the pros eventually. So at some point, it existed and there was a fall off. Where did that happen?
But what happens is, I can't even remember who made the point, but it might have been you.
Probably.
It has to be success, and it has to be sustained success for you to even get on. I was the only one to make it to the World Series. But even at that point, you know, you don't have the information as readily accessible as you do now. So I don't even know how big of a deal it was to local people back then. But Jazz making it to the World Series at this point, everyone, even if you're a casual fan, and Andrew was giving a voice to that, I'm a casual, but I'm going to tune in because of him. I just don't feel like that was big enough to get everyone, like how the Olympics would be when Sean A. or Stevie is running in the final, or if you have the relay team in the final. But the closest thing, and this goes back to John's point, the closest thing we did have to a moment like that was if our men's senior national team advanced to the Olympics. That game against Spain where we were a few points away from qualifying, I feel like that one, everyone was into that. Thank you, John. I feel like everyone was into that game there, and now you want to see where the program goes from there. The next step for the program now is the America Cup. Now, this is completely different from Olympic qualification, but I feel like so now we're fully invested into Bahamas basketball at that point. Now we got to follow and see where it goes. So they are back on the court this week, this upcoming week, correct?
Yeah.
For the America Cup qualifiers playing against the USA, help us.
And Cuba. First game in Cuba. Yeah, so...
We can at least beat Cuba, my God.
So I think I should have like a theme music going into my basketball thing. Anyways, there just...
Pass it on to the producer, she'll work it out.
We have to figure out what it's going to be. But anyways, our Olympic qualifying bid ended last summer, as we know. But this is the start of the new cycle. Because you have to be able to win in these games to then get to the next round, XYZ. So... these are still just as important to be able to get to the Olympics. It's just the beginning of the new cycle. It just overlapped a little. But yeah, we play Cuba and then USA. Cuba beat USA last time. So it's
what?
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out where you was gonna go with the point. We have to be
Cuba. Oh wait, Cuba nice.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, all right, pardon me.
So they're not a walkover or anything when it comes to that.
Defend the Spanish boy, you don't know player then.
No. That's the first time in like
bombs basketball even more.
That's the first time in 60 years they beat USA or something like in Cuba. Okay. So we go to Cuba. It's going to be a hard game. The roster they're putting together by Monday, pretty much who it is. But you know, you have your mainstays like Travis, Cantuan, Tavario. So we have the good matchups, I feel, against Cuba. And realistically, you got to go 1-1 in these windows. So the goal is to win both games, but to beat Cuba. First opponent, beat Cuba.
As a casual basketball observer, do you think people will care enough about these games at this point, or they would have to hear, okay, this is directly tied into the Olympics? How do we get them?
They will care. That's when they will care. Like, the stuff beforehand, they're not really going to care. And this is where, like, as a federation, we tried to push it to be, like, get TV partners. Get this on local stations here so the average person could watch it as opposed to having to go online and pay a subscription and watch it.
Yeah, as the casual, no, we ain't here. I'm out there right now. Because I don't even need to say it. What was my response when you said America?
What is that?
What that is?
Like
No, that's fair. That's fair. We really got to say that.
I represent the proletariat. I didn't know about it.
Yeah.
I don't care about it. I care now. So see, No. But honestly,
we converted one.
No. It's not
that's
that, you know.
That's a start.
Slight humble brag. Yeah, no humble brag for us. People care when we post it. We post it, be like, hey,
see,
the Bahamas did this thing. And then they're Andrew, like, oh, okay, I didn't even know it was happening. But good for us.
And there lies the problem.
I agree.
They don't care. They don't know it exists.
Right.
And they don't understand it. There's no explanation out there like how John provided just now, a clear roadmap to, hey, this is the restart of the Bahamas' next journey to try and qualify for the Olympics. All of that needs to be a part of... we have to now take these discussions out of the insider baseball column and move it to the general public discussion.
But at what point do you put the onus on that with the public, though? Because I feel like information is out there. There's only so long you can plead ignorance. We do that with everything. There's every form of media where people say this. It's in the print media. It's in broadcast media. It's on social media.
Slow down. Let's go step by step.
Okay.
Where is it in print media right now? What's happening this week with the America qualifiers?
Well, see, the thing is...
who's reading print media?
No, we just eat. He just laid it out. Yeah. We're going spot by spot.
You remember when we played Puerto Rico, yes. right?
So, I'm sure it was in there.
That was the
beginning. Was it?
It could be in there on Monday.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Let me send some messages.
Okay. Puerto Rico was the beginning of the of the cycle because that was the first week of, I mean, the first window of the AmeriCup qualifiers, which got people confused, which you're right, because people started saying, oh, we lost to Puerto Rico without the Olympics.
Yeah.
They don't realize it's two different things. Like two, it's like almost like the NBA Cup and the NBA season going on.
Correct.
Type thing.
So if you look at like all of these Spanish-speaking countries throughout the Caribbean and throughout South America that's really big into soccer, these things are like you have teams that are developed. You have players that come up with the idea, hey, I don't want to just play in the World Cup. I don't just want to play in Copa America. I want to play in my local tournament. I want to be the star of the national tournament. You have all of these things to develop that culture. That is sorely lacking here.
Yeah.
When was the last time you heard somebody say, boy, I won't go to Rock, you gamble?
But I think this generation...
That's the cap. Thank you.
And particularly with what happened with the national team this summer, I think what that did, cool to do that. Everyone now wants to be a part of their program, whether you coaching, whether you playing. Boom. So I think you have a generation growing up where that is a big part of the goal.
Fair enough.
But you got to remember this before you get the point. Me and Moses was coaching this team 2 years ago.
You said it very, very dismissively, Joe.
It's a fact. I want y'all to know that it is an actual fact and we can look it up. John Mark Nutt was an assistant coach for a Bahamas men's national basketball team.
I remember the suit.
At a very important game.
I remember the suit.
What we was doing. Sorry, Cotto. We've broken him.
Yeah.
No, all I'm saying,
finally.
All I'm saying is we kind of lose the narrative when we miss the fact that, hey, it's just the public's fault that they don't
follow. No, I'm not saying it's the public's fault, but I do. It's not solely the public's fault, but I mean, they ain't kids.
Yeah,
but at the same time, they find information on what they want to find it on, bro.
Now, if you want to take it from an economic standpoint, if it's easier for you, if it's easier for you to get a Yeti cup as opposed to a 10YS tumbler, which one would you get?
They difficult to get. Only two of them, and I lost mine.
This is the point I'm trying to make to you. So if it's easy for you to walk out your door and walk right in the store and pick up a Yeti, you would more than likely get the Yeti. That's the problem. We have it more available for persons to get news and information relative to the NBA, NFL, and MLB than it is for them to know who's playing in a high school basketball game this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Who's playing? Who's at BSS?
To me, that's a whole different thing, and I feel it's something where we...
But that's the core issue we face.
No, I understand what you're saying. I think we're getting statistics and stuff to be able to...
And information.
Yeah, to be able to properly log it, because... We look for information all the time, and we can't find anything unless it is playing at Kendall Isaacs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's the only time you get information. But with the AmeriCup,
and again,
information was put out there, but you're right. It should be more and more and more public awareness. You said with soccer.
Right.
These people want to play. You know why they want to play? Because they get to play at home.
Yeah.
And every single cycle is a home game and an away game, where I feel... The cycles for these AmeriCup windows hurts a country like us because it's very costly to get a team out of here, to travel to places, to be in. Remember, one time we were in the Bahamas playing Venezuela, and the next day we're flying to Argentina.
Yeah.
So it's like, logistically, it doesn't make sense for us at this level. Like, it's not like we're Europe where everything's close by. But at the same time, everyone wants to play home. So you got to give the opportunity in every window, I feel, in my opinion, to have that one home game. Because if you have that home game, more people are going to want to say the Dominic Bridgewaters, the Keenos, the Travises, the Shotties. They want to play in front of their home people. They want to play at home. So it's like this window, people aren't really going to know what's going on that much because we're still waiting on XYZ, this player to commit. Is this player coming? If one player gets hurt in practice, then you got to go rush and find another. So it's like this. It's just a lot of moving parts.
And that's why it's important to try and cultivate that culture, to cultivate that community, cultivate that pride. Because what you have in a situation like that, the national team is able to play home. And you, for whatever reason, get a chance to put a ticket price on that. That money could then be generated or raised to allow that team to then get to the next stage. But none of that exists.
You realize. So this is just factual what happened. So we were selling tickets for $20 last time when Kai was playing here, and we had a good team.
Yeah,
we went and we beat Puerto Rico. We had a good team here. People were complaining, oh, that's too expensive to do this. That's too expensive to get into Kendall. Is it though? Because these are the same people that could go fly to go watch Jay-Z in Miami, get hotel, plane ticket.
Hold on.
Or they go watch an NBA game.
The Rock is in the building.
The Rock is doubled out.
Exactly. No, but it's just like, it's all the differences. Like $10, you remember, not that the Federation is in the business of making money, but it's got to be able to pay its cost.
It's a nonprofit.
So it's not in the business of making money. But you should be able to cover
your... to be a nonprofit.
You got to be able to cover your cost to be a nonprofit.
Yeah.
So when we price these tickets, we're not pricing these tickets because we're like, oh, we got to make all this money. It's we got bills to pay. A window costs on average $90,000 to $100,000.
All of that is a part of the education that is severely lacking in all of these conversations.
Before we keep going, I just wanted to reiterate with y'all. We didn't really have to talk.
Fair point.
Yes. All right, cool. Let's go.
Tings is tings. For the NFL.
No, don't worry about
it.
We can just keep rolling with this.
But see, no, that's the biggest issue. And that's why I keep saying when you look at it from a national standpoint and you try to build these federations, these organizations, I think the biggest example we have is when we had the local football federation and FIFA was involved and they had all of, FIFA was making a ton of money and just finding ways to invest in smaller countries like the Bahamas. And then we saw the investment, but we didn't see the development that followed. It's the complete opposite for basketball. We see the development that happens outside of the country, but we don't see the investment. So you need to find a way to like try and...
I'll keep going back and I'll always say this, and y'all could read me up as much as y'all want.
We will.
But when you say investment, right? It's the corporate Bahamas that doesn't really step up to the plate because at the end of the day, majority of our funding comes from the ministries. Like that's how it is. Like for us to go to things and that is, we're relying on the ministry to do a lot for the Basketball Federation where it's stuff where it's like when you approach
but
corporate Bahamas, they're just like, hold on, why? What's this for?
I want to ask, because Andrew has labeled himself as such, how will they get you to tap into these other things? How are they going to get you to care about this? Because Carlos says it's just a lack of information being out there. Is it simply information or is there something else that... I feel like there also has to be an emotional attachment to it.
When buddy play money coming.
There's also an element of entertainment. I also want to be entertained.
Yeah.
Like, you don't go to a basketball game to just watch basketball. There's food. There's cheerleaders. It's a vibe. You play some music. What do we know Bahamians love to do?
Junkanoo.
After party. Gamble. What's going on? If you add an entertaining element to it, to be like, and this could sound dumb. I'm throwing out a very stupid idea. I'm saying it beforehand. But like, and after the game, we can clear the court and have like a dance, an old school R&B dance, something like that. You have to provide something to where I'm just not sitting down watching basketball.
This
you
know is why? The same court where people go after the game to start shooting baskets with the balls that they just right. in the game.
But like you'd almost take, and I hate using this example, the Drake approach. Because one thing about us,
I like the example.
We can go where women go in. Literally yesterday, a woman said to me at the bar, "Oh, what time you go into the Tyson and Jake Paul game?"
What time did you go?
They don't care.
No, but
they don't care about that. But it's something to go to. It's like it's a spectacle. It's something that I can enjoy.
Make
and
it a thing.
And plenty of people and gallants was outside. I'm sorry, but like you got to take the Drake approach. You pull women in. You pull entertaining thing. You make it fun. You make it a thing because that's our people.
See, there's no pleasing.
Back to holidays. What we love to do? Drink.
Yeah, but you're never going to please the Bahamian public because
I just told you how to.
Okay, no, but then I could change it up. The game's on a Sunday at 8 p.m.
You can't do that.
There you go. You can't do it
can't
now.
Do that.
So all that stuff. But regardless of when the game is, we can say the game is 4 p.m. on a Friday. Oh, that's too early.
Yeah, I agree.
So you can't please the Bahamian public, but regardless
could,
of what
you could
do.
Do it Friday at 7, drink specials, food, X, Y, Z.
There's some politician listening to John saying you can't please the Bahamian public, and he going, yep. Yep. This guy gets it. Now you see why it's so difficult.
Yeah,
regardless of what it is, because you could say you could have, but we had all these ideas. Let's just throw the idea.
Did you try mine?
Of when Kai played here, we said, yo, we should have after this and just get a stage
Ooh,
there.
Infinity money.
Yes. That was the time. And we were just like, we should have done that.
That's a terrible idea.
No. No, that was
how like, different is from yours? You just
alcohol, drinks, food, and a concert.
Kai Jones is a very good basketball player.
It would have been his first concert ever on home soil. But I'm just saying. You see
what?
No, no.
But this is the thing. I would have gone to the concert.
But this is the thing.
No, I go in. Y'all wasn't listening to that in the gym? Y'all wasn't working it out. Y'all wasn't working out listening to it.
Let's just put it this way. I've already named like three different scenarios that was like, dang work.
So hold on. Are Bahamian people like hard to please or is that gentleman hard to please?
No, it's Bahamian people in general. Cardo seems like he wants to say something. He wants to say something very reasonable.
I don't want any reasonable part of this conversation.
We're going to roll our eyes.
It just there. Keep going.
Okay, back to the Kai concert, right? Who would be one of the performers? Who would be, because someone has to open for him.
Kai would open for himself.
He would open and be the headliner.
What's the name of the gentleman who did? Bahamas.
Elkin.
You can put some respect on Sir Elkin 360.
He is not knighted.
He saved independence.
Hold on, for one year, let's win the competition.
In 2023. Wait, bring it back.
Go ahead.
He saved independence
2023
for at least the next 15 years.
No, he did not.
That song will play forever.
I got a hot take.
Hold on. We have Independence Morning. It's like a baby bonnet. And then we have Happy Independence Bahamas. It's only two ways you can go now.
I'll be honest with you,
Carl. I guarantee if you go to the public right now, they'll tell you it's the first song and then Elkin 360. That's Bahamian Independence.
I'll be honest with you. That was not banging in 2024. Ridiculous. That was not banging this summer.
I don't know what you bit. I know what you banging.
No, that was banging.
The same as it was in 23?
No.
Spin the block.
No, hold on.
Y'all tripping.
What you?
Not like us ain't hitting the way it hit in the summer, but you play that next year, and people will be like, "Oh yeah,
Brad, all you have
once
to say
drinking.
All you have to say is Nassau. All you have to say is Nassau is the capital.
Bahamas.
The song will sing itself. The song will sing.
You gotta finish it.
I don't know.
You gotta finish it,
bro. Anyway,
you bugging.
I don't know where you been.
No, I'm a soft
score. So back to the point. Kai have it. That's who opens for Kai. Put LK360 out there, and you have a moment.
You're welcome.
As a matter of fact, do a remix with Kai on the remix.
Go forth and turn
a rapper now too.
And now jazz makes music. So here is where we blend the worlds. This is why Guardian Radio needs us. Here is where we blend the worlds and we possibly save sports.
Realistically, back to John's point, you can't please vehemence. I don't know if it works.
Nope. Free t-shirts.
Ooh.
We getting warm.
We love free t-shirts.
We're getting warm up.
We love free days.
Hey, listen. Election.
But in all seriousness though. I honestly think that's where the fundamental disconnect is for the national development of sports. Let me bring it back.
In all seriousness?
Let me bring it back.
With all due respect, our idea is great.
No, I love the idea. What I'm saying
we
to you
We try to
is,
make a concert. Why don't you try to save the world with socialism?
What I'm saying to you is the Bahamas has this weird dynamic where you have people, to Andrew's point, that just want to have fun. And then you have another subsection of Bahamians that are fundamentally, we have to grow and develop the game. The only way you find a way to get around both of those narratives is trying to Niall's point, bridge the gap. You have to find a way to bring it down the middle where you have the basketball or the sports purists that could sit in the environment with the people that just want to come to have fun and make it an entertaining event.
Plenty, a lot of billboards and a basketball camp the day before.
You keep saying these things that are very sports-centric.
National development stuff, so I'm just saying you have a little basketball camp with national team members before. You have the game. You have Kai Jones and Jazz, an Elkin 360 concert.
A basketball camp to do
free
what?
Free t-shirts.
Teach basketball, presumably.
And y'all try to pull people under?
The kids.
Kids bring the parents.
The kids.
Okay, that'll work. I didn't know where I was going. I was like,
no, we always
want to learn to dribble the ball? Like, I don't know.
It's a holistic approach.
No,
so
we're not bringing you to go learn basketball.
Okay, good. I'm coming.
That actually might work.
I'm good. I'm fine. I did my time. It didn't go well.
How many kings were games you win? I probably played Andrew.
I got kicked off the practice squad. That's how bad I was.
That's all right, bro. It just wasn't for you, and that's okay.
I'm severely flat-footed.
Yeah, that's fine.
But that's why you needed the pool.
Okay, that worked perfectly, and now we got 5 minutes left to talk about the NFL. The Dolphins are bad. That'll do it.
By the way, great game Thursday.
What?
What? The game with the Eagles versus the...
I thought you were talking about the Dolphins.
Hopefully. Oh, no. The Dolphins suck.
Yeah.
By the way, did y'all see the chart they had of Tyreek Hill when he gets arrested and when he's not arrested?
Who played played Thursday? I'm doing a slow, a mild boycott of football.
The Commanders had the game in a lock, and then the Eagles did Eagle things and won.
Wonderful. Saquon two black quarterbacks. Barkley.
Did Saquon Barkley.
Saquon Barkley may be faster than Tyreek Hill.
No, he's not.
Boy, I know.
Y'all watch that game Stop Thursday? Clearly, y'all did not watch the game Thursday. He scored two touchdowns within a minute in the most ridiculous way.
By himself.
I'm doing a mild boycott.
Why are you boycotting the NFL
because
now?
I grew up as a Dolphins fan, Carter. What reason do I have to do?
So you're going to boycott the NFL for the rest of your life?
Just this year.
Let me ruin the
Maybe
mood
next year.
Of now, right? So I was looking at the Dolphins schedule.
Oh, God.
And they only two games out of right, seventh.
No, I'm not doing that. The playoffs. Lamar Jackson.
Great. But I'm just saying this, right? Miami's the type of team that I say, you know what? We could just get into the playoffs just to lose unless we play the Steelers.
They only do it to upset me. It's their existence. It's why they're here. Anyway, Miami Dolphins. The Lions, though. Tanks is tanks are down bad.
Tanks is tanks. It's normal.
Yeah.
It's normal for y'all to suck.
Dallas Cowboys, tings is tings, or down bad?
I'm still trying to verify if the Dak Prescott injury is a real legitimate injury.
Yeah, he's
out for the season. I didn't see a real report. I see like some Twitter.
Okay, look at him.
I've not seen it.
So last week when I got home, I turned the ESPN on. It's like, breaking news, Dak Prescott. And then now it's like, guess what? Dak out. He's like, oh, I wish we knew that an hour ago.
I saw a great picture to keep it Bahamian and Bahamian. I saw a great picture of Chester Cooper hugging Jerry Jones.
Mm.
Yeah. And I was like, well.
That was a lot different from the picture of Jerry Jones in the 60s.
Okay. Who else is on?
Pittsburgh Steelers. Tings is tings. Oh, I down, but has to be tings is tings.
Yeah.
They letting Russ cook.
It is what it is.
Also, shout out to Mike Tomlin for his respect for Lamar Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
He's trying to compare.
You know what that is.
That's like, if now as a head coach.
Yeah, you know what that is.
He's like, what we're not going to do is defame a three-time MVP.
Let me tell you what Mike Tomlin was saying. I always wanted one. And now I have two. That's what Mike Tomlin was saying.
More or less.
Pretty much. Well,
because he had these shape-ups.
So he's the only one that could change the Sean Watson's trajectory, hey?
Or Jesus.
Probably I think my timeline is
probably shot. Jesus.
I think as a community, the community has to change that for Deshaun Watson. It's not a way.
Who's the other team? The Chiefs?
The other team, well, obviously for the Chiefs.
But Kansas how did the Chiefs get so lucky?
Nobody knows how the Chiefs get so lucky. Just as the public was lucky enough to hear this lively discussion that we had on a myriad of things. See how well things go when we plan, guys?
Planning's great.
We ain't planned.
Planning's great. That'll do it for this week's episode of The Accredited, brought to you by 10th Year Seniors. We'll be back next week.
That's the name of the show.
We don't have a cool outro. We just stopped talking.